सुप्रीम
लॉर्ड
doesn't appear word for word, does it? Però il Signore, avendo in arte una davanti, non lo can save himself from the cruel hands of death without being favored by Ali, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita it is stated, Mam eva ye prapatyate mayam etam tanati te. Whoever fully surrenders unto Krishna can be saved from the cruel hands of the dual nature. The conditioned soul, however, sometimes wants to take shelter of a demigod, man-made god, pseudo-incarnation, or bogus swami or yogi. All these cheaters claim to follow religious principles, and all this has become very popular in the age of Kali. There are many Pashanis who, without referring to the Shastras, pose themselves as incarnations, and foolish people follow them. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has left behind him Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Not referring to these authorized scriptures, rascals take shelter of man-made scriptures and try to compete with Lord Krishna. That is the greatest difficulty one encounters when trying to promote spiritual consciousness in human society. The Krishna Consciousness Movement is trying its best to bring people back to Krishna consciousness in its pure form, but the Pashandis and the atheists who are cheaters are so numerous that sometimes we become perplexed and wonder how to push this movement forward. In any case, we cannot accept the unauthorized ways of so-called incarnations, gods, cheaters and bluffers, who are described here as crows, vultures, buzzards and herons.
If you don't have Krishna's mercy, then you can't be saved. But if you surrender to God's will, to Krishna's will, then not that you don't have to die, because these are the laws. These are the laws of material nature. But the notion of death is different for one who's in knowledge. And Prabhupada describes, Bhagavatam describes that death is like going to sleep for some time. We don't worry about going to sleep at night. It's not a major concern. 7 o'clock night last night. Very, did you notice it was very cold? I had to get up and put some socks on. I just like wearing socks in bed though, because at some point it would be too hot. They have to take them off again. Right? But when we go to sleep, how many of us worry about going to sleep at night? Most of us just and we wake up and it's another day's activities. So similar to us, death is like going to sleep. And for the fortunate living entities, 9 months of sleeping, or maybe even less actually, then we awake again and then off we go. The hear not swing, the tar, the hear go man, go man, jara, Prabhupada mentions that here in Google. This is all a function of Hari Chakra, the time factor, which is represented by the wheel, the disc. And as mentioned here, it's always, always turning. Time is always, they say, time is marching on. Or one of my friends wrote me a letter the other day, and he said, Tempor fugit, which is Latin, is a Latin saying. Tempor fugit, you know what it means? Tempor means time, and fugit means flies. Time flies, right? So something that we experience. Of course, when we're young, time moves very slowly. Right? When you're 5 years old, and you're thinking of when you're going to be 21, it's like, oh, so far away. Things seem to move in an eternal. They move, but so slowly when we're young. But then as you get older, things start to speed up. And before you know it, it's time to go to sleep. it's time to leave the body. And of course, the misconception is that you only live once, and you die once, and then that's it, that's finished, that's the end. But of course, one of the benefits of the Vedic scriptures, even in the Bhagavad Gita, we see it on more than one occasion, we see how a particular living entity, an individual, takes more than one birth, and we follow the course of their lives. And so we find in the teachings of the Vedas especially, this description of the passage of time through a number of lifetimes for an individual. And so this conception of identifying with the body is dismantled, and the identification is with the soul. It's a different way of perceiving how the movement of time works. It's not that we only have one life, and that at the time of death,
everything is finished. You know, it's quite logical and reasonable to appreciate or to understand that there will be a future existence for us even after death. Because there has to be some cause for what we're experiencing now. You know, you were born in a particular body in a particular country. We have Australian, we have Gujarati, Tamil, Nadu, Punjabi, Malayalam, Kerala. Tirupati, South America, where's your mom?
Kannada.
Kannada.
Karnataka.
You know, they talk about India. And people think, ignorant people think, oh, India is just is a place where everybody is the same. Right? I think of India as, well, they don't realize this is so many different destinations. Right? So many different births. Because the common factor is the soul. The common factor is the in every living, and we see this in every body, we see this development. There's birth, there's development, there's production of byproducts, there's maintenance for some time, there's dwindling, and then departure. And so, this is common for everybody, regardless of wherever we've been born. This is a common manifestation for each body, governed by the time factor, Hari Chakra. And everybody goes through these changes in various births, multiple births. We've had so many births we've forgotten them all. But in each case, we're born in a particular location as a consequence of the things that we did in the past. You know, the previous life determines the destination that we get in this life. So he ends up in Germany, I end up in Trossum, you know, South Australia, a little country town. And I guess what's common to all servants of the devotees is, you know, why did all this, why me, why now, why here? And of course this is the very commentary, if you like, you know. Your past deeds bring you to the point where you are now. And the deeds that you perform in this lifetime will take you into the future. You're getting reactions now, we're getting reactions now to the past activities. The activities that we perform now will produce future results. That's why the devotees are concerned about their future destination more so than what they might acquire or attain in this lifetime in terms of material facility. They're more concerned about what is my future destination, because we know that as a consequence of the working of the time factor, we'll have to leave this. And Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita,
When you think of the time of death, that state you will attain without fail. Right? And that each one of us has to die. It's part of the process. And so death for the devotee is a natural event. A defining, of course, it's very much a defining event. But the purpose of life is to develop one's consciousness such that the destination at the time of death will be dead. Going back to Godhead, or to be progressive on the path of going back home, back to Godhead. So, those who surrender to Krishna understand that it's the state of consciousness, or the state of being on the subtle platform that determines and then whether we take birth again or not in the material world. And even for the very exalted and advanced devotees, they don't mind taking birth again in the material world, so long as they get an opportunity to render service to Krishna, because that's the eternal state of the living entity, whether it's in the spiritual world or in the material world. Service is the quality of existence that is natural to us, is natural to everyone. And that service to Krishna is the ultimate destination, wherever we may go, in the material world. But those without a proper understanding of things as they are, follow misguided, they're misguided, basically, right about the same here. The conditioned soul, however, sometimes wants to take shelter of a demigod, a man-made god, a pseudo-incarnation, or bogus swami or yogi. Huh? Instead of surrendering to Krishna, which is always recommended in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is where we get our reference. These are our guides, if you like. The Bhagavad. Either the Bhagavad devotee or the Bhagavad book. These are our guides. And you know, our measurement, if you like. What is it? Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. This is how we measure our efforts by the guidelines given, especially in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. But instead of referring to the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam and to the standard methods that are described within, there are so many charlatans, if you like. Such as Prabhupada says here, we worry about how to push on Krishna consciousness, because there are so many Pashandis, atheists who are cheaters. So many cheaters. And it's interesting, very graphic here. Imminent death is like the attack of a lion. So everybody is going to be, is going to have their life plundered. It's all actually, in one sense, we're dying all the time. From the moment we're born to the death itself, where we are burning up the finite amount of time that we have in this lifetime. It's already pretty determined. But it gives rise to, you know, fear, a great deal of fear. For those who don't know, they're seeking shelter and protection from the cheaters, and but avoid surrendering to Krishna, which is very sad. And in this verse, these personalities are likened to, what is it? Buzzards, vultures, herons, and crows. And these are all vicious animals, especially the heron. Herons. They are vicious when it comes to their prey. They have a long beak, pointed at the end. And what do they do with that beak? Stab the whatever it is that they're going to eat, birds, fish, rabbits, you know, or frogs, you name it. If you happen to live by a river in any particular animal form where the herons cohabit, you are in severe danger. And they just pierce the body of the fish, say, for example, and then throw it up, toss it up, and then swallow it whole. check it out on YouTube. Vicious, merciless. So these cheaters like, you know, buzzards, vultures, herons, crows, they eat the bodies, you know, of their prey. So these are likened to the cheaters. The bone tongue can be very harsh. Bone tongue does not pull its punches. Hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. But here the cheetahs describe like these birds of prey that subsist on them eating the bodies of their victims. So these individuals who don't refer to the authorized, to the standard descriptions of knowledge of interpretation of descriptions of what is actually happening. The cheaters, the bogus swamis and yogis, the man-made gods, even the demigods, they're considered to be cheaters if one thinks that one can take shelter of these unauthorized shelters and can be saved from death, will be disappointed. Yeah. So, this is the importance of the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. They are provided for us so that there is a standard authority. There's standard descriptions. There's a proper understanding. There's an emphasis and a focus on our spiritual identity and realization of our spiritual persona, our spiritual identity, and the development of our consciousness throughout births, various births, rather than the modern focus is on the body. And the development of the body. Attachment to enjoying the body and a focus only on the lifetime of this birth. Whereas the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam encourage us to cultivate our consciousness, cultivate a proper understanding of identity separate from the body. And so therefore then the changing bodies is not as fearful. And there's a proper taking shelter of the appropriate or the correct, the authorized understanding, the authorized representative of Krishna ultimately, the spiritual master or the various incarnations of the Lord who appear and will properly protect us at the time of death. We need to know who we should take shelter of. For us, it's Gaudiya and Radha Krishna and Jagannath Balaramasa, and our spiritual masters, Srila Prabhupada as a founder acharya and previous acharyas, who teach us. If you want to conquer death, here's how you do it. Here's who you are, here's who you want to be, or need to be, or should be. And so we have an authorized system, we have an authorized process by which we can make a success of the human form of life. And it's not necessarily getting lots of money or lots of influence or power, living in a particular suburb, in a particular city, in a particular country. There is a system. There is a purpose for life. Prabhupada mentions this in the introduction to the Bhagavad Gita. One should understand what the mission of life is, what it is. And of course that's what's given in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. And why the distribution of books is so important, because Srila Prabhupada's teachings only refer back to the and the proper utilization of the human form of life. And, now in this school, I have between who's a teacher and who's a bona fide representative, and who can really give shelter, who can give shelter. So we can identify who's the rascals and who's not. We cannot accept the unauthorized ways of so-called incarnations, gods, cheaters, and bluffers, who are described here as crows, vultures, buzzards, and herons. Okay, let's finish here, you guys are getting restless, I notice. Any comments or questions?
Brilliant. Dasan and Dinimati sent me something really nice on WhatsApp. The word Harata indicates it's a form of Hari.
Yes.
And Hari means to take away.
Yes.
And
it can
Hari refers to lion as well.
Hari
refers to lion as well.
Lion as well. Yes.
Yes. Lion.
Thank you, Russell, for that tidbit of spiritual information. Anything else? Okay. I've got a busy day today. Thank you, Russell, and welcome to the video. So, Robert, and you too. So, Robert, and you too. Thank you, Robert, and you too. Thank you, Robert, and you too.